Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, guys? Welcome in to another episode of the Wolverine Live Recruiting Show. I am your host, EJ Holland. I am going to do the Q&A show. We haven't done it in a little bit because of travels and things like that. So I'll be answering all of your questions. And it looks like we have a ton of questions already. So if you want to skip the line, make sure to leave a super chat. That'll allow you to bump up. Just donate any amount of money that goes straight to our travel budget. Also, like this video, subscribe to our YouTube channel for free. And before we dive into tonight's questions, I do want to let you guys know that we have a magazine and book up for sale. The Wolverine has been around forever and produces a monthly magazine, but we actually did a special commemorative edition of the Wolverine honoring the 2023 National Championship team. You can find that over at the Wolverine On Demand .com, and it's available as a softcover magazine. It's also available as a hardback book. So this special version, the magazine version has 148 full color glossy pages. The book version has 144 ad free glossy pages. It's, you know, great if you want to have a give out a gift to someone, or you want to have something to look back at the national championship, you know, 15, 20 years from now. It's, you know, both versions include in-depth features on Blake Corum, J.J. McCarthy, and other stars from the team, exclusive highlights on the dynamic defensive line and path to the championship, comprehensive game-by-game coverage, stunning photography, insightful columns, stats, and so much more. And like I said, it's a great gift idea. You know, I guess it's not necessarily the holiday season, but you know, Easter's here. You want to get somebody something for Easter, you can order this right now. Someone's birthday coming up, you can definitely do that. So head over to the WolverineOnDemand.com and order your special commemorative issue, whether it's the softcover magazine or the hardback book. Both are available now at the WolverineOnDemand.com. So what's up, everybody? Thanks for joining. I see more people filing in, but like I said, we already had some pre-written questions from users in the chat box as early as 3 p.m. So shout out to you, Mitchell Cotton, for getting in here so early. And Mitchell says, who is initiating all of the recent recruiting department shuffling and why? I ask because more attention should be paid to restructuring NIL efforts, or is shuffling personnel going to help with NIL? And he continues, clearly, man hours are being put into expanding, restructuring the recruiting department. It just feels like the man hours are being used incorrectly. No, not at all. I mean, look, I don't agree that the hours are being used incorrectly in terms of manpower, because Michigan has had an outdated recruiting department since I came over to this beat from Texas. You know, when I was at Texas, Tom Herman was the head coach for a large majority of my time there. And Herman came from the Urban Meyer branch where, you know, recruiting is the lifeline of every college football program. And so they had a massive structured operation at Texas. And when I came over to Michigan, at the time it was Matty Dudek and some Gophers. And so it was really weird going from a really massive structured recruiting department to Dudek and his, you know, little Gophers. So I think that it's been a long time coming, and you saw Jim Harbaugh take those steps. He added an entire department of on-campus recruiting, which featured Christina DeRuiter and some others. You know, he made a change by bringing in Courtney Morgan to replace Matty Dudek, and Courtney did well in his short period here, but obviously that didn't work out for a couple of different reasons. You know, last year and the year before, they had Albert Karshnia, who was better suited for more of an operations type of role. So he was recently reassigned to director of player personnel. But I think Sherrone Moore has made it clear that he wants to expand the recruiting department. He wants to have a bigger, more structured operation. He wants more manpower. Look, this is Michigan. This is a blue blood program. It should have a big recruiting department, similar to Texas, similar to Ohio State and Notre Dame and schools like that. You know, I don't think Michigan has really had that. So I don't think Michigan is wasting time. I think they're making up for lost time. There already should have been a better recruiting department in place. So you're seeing, you know, new hires today. You saw some shuffling with people moving to different positions. I mentioned Karshia moving to director of player personnel. Sam Popper is set to take over as director of recruiting, and he did a really good job as the assistant director of recruiting. He's a guy that can more personally connect with kids and really help these coaches and be a great on-campus recruiter. In fact, I think Michigan should keep expanding the recruiting department. When I was at Texas, they had guys that were experts specifically in different regions. They even had a guy that was an expert recruiting Polynesian kids. Like, it was wild how many specific experts they had within that recruiting department and how much experience they had. So I think, you know, the new hires are younger, they're hungrier, they're going to help the coaches with guys on campus for visits and things like that. You have Kaylee Johnson, Will Johnson's sister, taking over for Christina DeRuiter. I think she's going to do a really good job as the on-campus director of recruiting. But I think you're just seeing, you know, you have McGee coming in as the general manager as well. So you're just seeing a more modern approach to what a college football recruiting, scouting, personnel department should look like. And I think Sherrone Moore is doing a good job. That's not to say that Michigan shouldn't invest resources in NIL. At the end of the day, the recruiting department is great. I think it helps you identify talent earlier. It helps you stay in contact with talent earlier. I think it helps on visits. I think it alleviates some of the recruiting stress off of the assistants that will allow them to continue to focus on, you know, things like spring ball while there's a recruiting contact period. But at the end of the day, it's not necessarily going to help Michigan land the elite recruits that maybe you're expecting them to land until they fix NIL. So yes, they should pour resources into expanding the recruiting department, but obviously they should also pour resources into NIL as well. And McGee is supposed to help with NIL, so we'll see how that goes. Obviously, we've been hearing soon for forever, but soon needs to happen now. Tyson Smith says, how did you get into recruiting? Do you have a degree? What advice would you give people trying to get in? Yes, I do have a degree from SMU. I do have a journalism degree. I think a lot of people know that I started off as an intern for Rivals back when I was 19 years old. So the second semester of my college freshman year, I started off as an intern for Rivals, and then I actually worked for Scott Bell part-time at the Dallas Morning News, and I was in charge of the recruiting blog there. And then I started covering SMU for Scout while I was still a student. So kind of a more traditional route. So yeah, I got a journalism degree and I had various jobs in recruiting, and that's kind of how it all, you know, it all played out, I guess. You know, I was always interested in journalism even when I was in high school. I remember I was a freshman, and obviously I wasn't on the varsity football team yet. And I just volunteered to write for like one of our local high school websites. And even then, I was still the same way I am now. I used to pick against our local high school team, and people used to get upset at me, even the kids I'd go to school with, because I was a freshman and they were seniors. And I was like, yeah, I think you guys are going to lose. So what? You know, I was always the same way. So I kind of just started off like that. But everybody's role is kind of different, or everybody's road's kind of different. I had an employee that worked under me at Texas, Mike Roach. He's now a national analyst at 24/7. And this dude just was writing independently for a blog and working for a security camera or security solutions company. And one day I saw him at a camp and I was like, dude, you should come work with me. And yeah, he did a tremendous job. And obviously now he's a national guy. So yeah, my advice is just, if you really like it, start off the right way, start off like interning or doing something part time, and then, you know, work your way up from there. Tyson Smith says, who's better, Bo Jackson or Jordan Davison? That's a good question. I mean, everybody knows how much I love Marquise Davis. And so, you know, that was actually a question presented on our message board today. I think it's really close. I do want to watch more film of both of these guys since they had previously eliminated Michigan. I've been more familiar with Jordan Davison because I watched some of his tape as an underclassman. He actually visited Michigan, you know, way back a couple years ago. Now there's, you know, reignited interest that he's visiting this week with Tony Alford on staff. I think Michigan can become a contender in this recruitment. You know, the sites are kind of divided on him. A couple of sites, ESPN and Rivals, have him ranked in the top 50. Of course, 24/7 and On3 have him lower, with On3 not even having him as a top 200 back. But, you know, I think with Davison, he's added a lot of weight. You know, he's 220 now, so he's kind of that bruising back between the tackles, but he still has some explosiveness to him too. Bo Jackson's a really, really intriguing athlete. He's a guy that I think you can line up in the slot and out wide. He kind of can be a Donovan Edwards, do it all type of back. So I think they're different running backs, but I think both of them are high end. I think both of them would be tremendous additions to the backfield. And it's just great to see Tony Alford recruiting these types of backs. But in terms of picking one or the other, I mean, I'd really love to see both. I'd really like to see any of them, you know, whether it's Jackson, Marquise Davison, or Marquise Davis or Jordan Davison paired, you know, with a guy like, you know, Iverson Howard. I think that's a really good, you know, two back class. But here's, you know, Bo Jackson. He actually is still listed as an athlete, but, you know, six foot flat, 204 pounds, just really, really intriguing prospect. But yeah, I mean, any of those guys, Marquise Davis, Bo Jackson, Jordan Davis, and, you know, with Iverson Howard as a complimentary back would be a great class. Tyson Smith says, will we land Michael Carroll this weekend? Is anybody committing on Easter? I don't think that anybody's committing on Easter. At least we're not expecting it. You know, you can never rule it out. Somebody gets caught up in a visit high or something. Michael Carroll, I don't think will commit this weekend. I don't think he's in any rush to make a decision anytime soon. He's been making a Southern swing. He was at Bama yesterday. He was at Clemson today, and Clemson offered. So yeah, definitely don't think Carroll will commit to Michigan this weekend, but I do think Michigan's in a really good spot going into the visit. I mentioned the Southern swing. It'll be interesting to see how involved those Southern schools become in this recruitment. That's obviously a wild card, but up to now, his recruitment has been more Midwest focused, with Michigan, Penn State, Wisconsin being some of the schools, you know, at the top of his mind. Michigan obviously set to get him back on campus this weekend. He's been to Ann Arbor about three times. He visited for the game against Ohio State in the fall. He loves Grant Newsom. He loves Sherrone Moore. He loves the offensive line production. And there's a lot to sell to elite offensive linemen. But yeah, I think Carroll wants to stay patient, but I do like where Michigan stands heading into this visit. And I think he's one of the more important targets on the board. I mean, he's listed as an interior offensive lineman, but he has tackle flexibility. I think the other sites are really sleeping on Carroll. He's top 100 on three, just a three-star on 24/7, which is terrible. Get out of here, 24/7. And the other sites have him outside of the top 200, but I really like where on three has him ranked. I think he's really undervalued. I think he's starting to, you know, generate more interest in the South for a reason. GoBlue81 asks, how are we looking with Brady Smiegel? And if not him, who do you think Campbell will focus on? So Brady Smiegel is a quarterback in the 2026 recruiting class. So Michigan already has a commitment in 2025 at quarterback in Carter Smith. Smiegel is one of the many 26 quarterbacks that Kirk Campbell is going after. Remember, under Matt Weiss, Michigan took an all your eggs in one basket approach. Kirk Campbell has been the exact opposite. He's been casting a wide net across the country, and Smiegel is one of the top options for him. You see Michigan currently in fourth place on the On3 recruiting prediction machine. I like where Michigan stands. I think they're right in that top group. I don't think Smiegel is really leaning one way or the other. You see Oregon has that lead on the On3 recruiting prediction machine. I think it's still early for him, and Campbell's been doing a nice job. Campbell visited him for the winter contact period, and Smiegel's obviously been on campus in the past. But yeah, I mean, I think Smiegel is one of those options. You know, you have other guys that have visited Michigan on multiple occasions. You have Will Griffin out of Florida. Noah Grubbs, also out of Florida, was just on campus recently. Quinn Murphy out of Texas has been on campus. You know, you've had guys that don't even have offers coming to campus in 26. Briggs Cherry is set to visit tomorrow. So again, I think, you know, Kirk Campbell is just giving himself many options at this point in the game. I don't think he's focused on one, and he's going after some elite guys too. You know, Faison Brandon is a guy out of North Carolina, the number one quarterback in the country in 2026. You just had Troy Hunn visit this weekend, right? Yeah, Troy Hunn visited this past day, I guess. It's not the weekend anymore. He was on campus Monday and Tuesday, and Hunn's another top 100 signal caller out of California. So, you know, a lot of options in 2026, not just, you know, focused on one right now. GoBlue81 says, what do you think of the John Collins hire? Are we doing enough to make a difference with the high-level recruits? You know, I think it's just more adding manpower to the recruiting department. Like I touched on earlier, these guys that Michigan has added are younger guys, including John Collins. I think Collins is only 23 or 24 years old. He spent a couple of years at Georgia, and before that, his only real recruiting experience was a five-month stint at his alma mater at Temple. So, you know, not a ton of recruiting experience under his belt, but I think he probably learned a lot of valuable things at a program like Georgia. I think right now these hires are more so from the recruiting department specifically. I think these hires are more so helping the staff, helping maintain contact, helping on visits, things of that nature. So, you know, I think all these hires are great. I would like to see Michigan add more experience, more connections, more specific type of roles in the same way, like I touched on earlier, that you know, Texas had and Ohio State has had forever. So, yeah, I think it's a good start as Michigan continues to be more modern in their approach to the recruiting department. The last question from GoBlue81 is, I caught the show yesterday talking about running backs again. How many do you think we take this cycle, and who do you think are the favorites to be in the 25 class? Well, you know, Tony Alford is resetting the board. I think they'll take two. You know, he's obviously going after some really high-end talent, Marquise Davis, Bo Jackson, Jordan Davison, we've talked about. He also offered Akilin Deer out of Mississippi, who I believe is the number two running back in the country. And of course, you have Iverson Howard, who is an on 300 running back, but a three-star on the industry. That was Mike Hart's top target, and he has an official visit set and is also set to come in for the spring game. But Alford didn't offer Iverson Howard at Ohio State, so I think he has to familiarize himself with Howard. You see Michigan, the leader here on the On3 recruiting prediction machine. But again, you know, with Alford not offering him at Ohio State and Sharon Moore having a personal connection with Howard. It'll be interesting to see if Moore kind of nudges Alford to recruit Howard as well. But right now it's too early to say who the two backs will be. Obviously, Alford already had those pre-existing targets that he was working on at Ohio State. And again, it'll be interesting to see if he pursues Howard as well. Like I said earlier in the show, I definitely would love a class of one of those elite backs, whether it's Marquise Davis or Akilin Deer, Bo Jackson, or Jordan Davison, paired with an Iverson Howard. Or, you know, if it's two of those four that I mentioned, that would be amazing as well. John A. Schultz, before we get to your question, just a reminder, if you want to skip the line, because we had a lot of questions that were asked before the show started, if you want to skip the line, hit that little box with the dollar sign that gets you to the top of the line, and that money goes directly to our travel budget. Also, like this video and subscribe to our YouTube channel for free, and subscribe to thewolverine.com right now for just $1 for 1 month. So John says, EJ, Gash, Carroll, Babaloa, list them in terms of who's the best prospect and list them in order of importance to Michigan. Yeah, Babaloa, I think, is the best prospect. He's a five-star for a reason. For those of you that don't know, Andrew Babaloa visited Michigan this past weekend, and he is one of the premier tackles in the country. And I think that you have to value tackles over interior offensive linemen. So Babaloa, I think, is more of a true tackle. I think he's a right tackle. He's ranked this high for a reason. I think he's the most important because there are so many interior offensive linemen on the board, and Michigan needs more tackles on the more viable options at tackle. Second would be Carroll. I think he is the second best, and I also think he's the second most important. You saw Babaloa listed at about 6'6", 285. Carroll's 6'6", 300 pounds, so similar type of measurables, and Carroll has reshaped his body. He's actually grown an inch. You know, I think he's a guy that, again, has been undervalued by some of the other services, not necessarily on three, which has him listed as a top 100 guy. But Carroll gives you tackle flexibility, which I love. I think he's a guy that can play multiple spots along the offensive line. And I was really impressed with him, you know, just seeing him from a frame aspect when I visited him at his school in February. I think he's a guy that's really coming into his own body. I think he's going to be a tremendous offensive lineman at the next level. And then third is Gash. It's not that I'm not high on Avery Gash. It's more so, you know, I think he's a straight up interior offensive lineman that doesn't offer a ton of tackle flexibility. I think that's why you saw him drop in the rankings on three, where he is a three-star. I think he's important from, you know, the in-state recruiting aspect. I think, you know, landing a guy that's local, that's highly touted, is always important. And I think he's one of the better interior offensive line targets on the board. But when comparing him to Carroll and Babaloa, I have to side with the latter two. John A. Schultz says, EJ, what is UM's 26 quarterback look like? Noah Grubb seemed to have a lot of good things to say after his recent visit. Where does Michigan stand with him and others? Yeah, like I mentioned earlier, we had a question on 26 quarterbacks. You know, Kirk Campbell is casting a wide net. There are a lot of options out there nationally, whether it's the number one quarterback in the country and Faison Brandon, or whether it's, you know, Brady Smiegel, we talked about, or, you know, recent offer, Troy Hunt. There are just a lot of options out there. Noah Grubbs is one of many. I mentioned that he's high up there. Quinn Murphy's high up there. There are just a lot of guys to look at. Specifically with Noah Grubbs, he had a really good visit, a lot of great things to say about Michigan and Kirk Campbell. He's one of the 26 quarterbacks that's shown the most interest so far. He's visited on three different occasions, and obviously Michigan's not a super easy trip coming up from the Orlando area. So yeah, I like where Michigan stands with Noah Grubbs. I think Kirk Campbell has done a great job with 26 quarterback recruiting. John A. Schultz back with another question, and he says, EJ, how is defensive tackle, nose tackle recruiting going? Michigan was lucky to flip David Polipoli at the end of the 2024 recruiting cycle, but defensive tackle will be a huge need once Graham and Kenneth Grant likely entered the draft early after this season. You know, it's tough to say how defensive line recruiting is going as a whole when there is no defensive line coach. I think we have to wait and see who Michigan brings in to replace Greg Scruggs before we talk about how defensive tackle and nose tackle recruiting is going. We're not going to know who that new defensive line coach likes, if he has pre-existing targets, like, for example, Tony Alford, obviously completely blowing up Mike Hart's recruiting board and resetting it with his own. You don't know if the new defensive line coach is going to do that. So I think right now with defensive line recruiting as a whole, it's more of a wait and see who they bring in to actually coach the position group. And John A. Schultz comes in with one more and he says, EJ, please tell me you're a dog guy and not a cat guy, or at least a dog slash cat guy. I feel like cat people are Notre Dame fans. No, I am converted into a cat person. When I was young, we always had German Shepherds in my family. Actually had a litter of puppies. So, you know, I got to be around dogs quite a bit. And it was cool to see kind of like the, you know, the puppies can have, how they come to be. I don't know. That's so awkward. But yeah, once I got older, and I was always allergic to cats, so I always hated cats. But once I got older, I met my wife, and she had just gotten a brand new kitten, who is our cat now, obviously. And yeah, just fell in love with cats. I like how independent they are. I like that they don't respond to your commands. They're not just here to sip the Kool-Aid like dogs are. Like, I feel like dogs are more followers of the other side because they like listen to commands and drink Kool-Aid and want nothing but positive news. And cats are just like, leave me alone. Let me think for myself. So I respect cats for that. I love cats now. We have a super chat here. Go Blue Hasbula says, 1 to 10, what's the likelihood we land Marquise Davis on a 1 to 10 scale? Right now, I would give it, that's a good question, man. Right now, I would give it a 6. I don't want to go 5 because that's super lame. So I'll go with 6 because I think Michigan did a fantastic job on his visit this week. That pre-existing relationship with Tony Alford is going a long way. And I get it. He's an Ohio guy. He's a heavy lean to Ohio State. But I think the running back production, again, the relationship with Alford, the fact that Jordan Marshall left the state of Ohio to go to Michigan last cycle, it gives an example that someone's willing to do that. I think Michigan, the longer Ohio State goes without hiring a running backs coach, the better for Michigan. And Davis has already set a summer official visit as well. So, yeah, I really like where Michigan stands with Marquise. I think there's a really good chance here. I think it's a realistic win over Ohio State in enemy territory. And Lei Wu is up next. He says, how will the expansion of, and appreciate the super chat, guys. Again, if you want to skip the line, leave that super chat. You can skip that. And Lei Wu says, how will the expansion of the recruiting department impact recruiting in general? Like I said, with these hires that are more younger guys that don't have a lot of, personal connections necessarily in the recruiting world, I think that it's going to help with just keeping in contact with kids. You know, a lot of kids, especially underclassmen, complain about the lack of contact from Michigan. And I think that, you know, these recruiting department hires can definitely help with that. I think it helps with the contact for guys around recruitments, right? You know, when I visited 5-star defensive lineman Justin Scott last year at his high school coach told me, hey, I've heard from all these coaches and I'm not hearing from Michigan. What's up? Like, you know, so keeping in contact with high school coaches, trainers, mentors, that's something the recruiting department can definitely do. And, you know, keeping in contact with parents obviously would help as well. So a lot of contact things and also just visit things as well. You know, the more people you have on visits, the more visitors you can have. I know Michigan's preferred more small weekends, but I think some of the big weekends and big events like the barbecue at the Big House can be better organized, better staffed, better social media From that event, obviously last year, the biggest takeaway, the biggest thing that anybody remembers from the barbecue at the Big House last year had nothing to do with recruiting. It was the sorry ass hot dog that was on that plate. So yeah, I think not having those types of photos go out and having more of a strong social media presence would definitely help. And yeah, just kind of alleviating some of the stress from the coaches so they can focus on their top targets and, you know, coaching the guys during spring ball. And lastly, with contact, I think it helps with, you know, secondary and tertiary targets, right? You know, the coaches are focused on their top of the board guys, but if those guys fall through for NIL or they just lose recruiting battles, they have to circle back to those secondary and tertiary targets. And if they hadn't been hearing from Michigan, it's going to be a lot harder to land those guys, even if they're plan B's and C's. So I think that, you know, the recruiting department can keep those plan B's, plan C's warm, and things of that nature. So I think it just helps out the coaches in general. I would still like to see Michigan expand the recruiting department with some more experience, some more guys that have, you know, connections around college football. So, you know, but it is off to a good start under Sherrone Moore. And Lei Wu says, who would you predict as the next commitment? I don't have a prediction. Honestly, like it would be a real guess at that at this point. I don't think anybody is close to really pulling the trigger right now. Michigan is about to hit a 3-month commitment drought. So yeah, it's tough sailing. You know, guys that are considered leans like Avery Gash, for example, is an in-state guy. He's continuing to wait. Elijah Dotson, it doesn't seem like Michigan's pushing as hard with Lamar Morgan. Jamari Deloach, he's going to wait till the summer. So there's just a lot of guys that were considered Michigan leans that want to wait. They want to visit. They want to build relationships with the new staff. And that's just kind of where we are right now. And Lei back with another one. He says, how does the incident of Scruggs affect Nate Marshall and Jalen Williams? Well, not positively. You know, Nate Marshall was supposed to be on campus this past weekend, didn't make it because there's no D-line coach. Jalen Williams has been considered a Michigan lean, but, you know, his interest doesn't seem to be as high with there not being a defensive line coach. You see 95.4% chance for Michigan. But Williams is in the process of scheduling OVs right now, doesn't have one to Michigan. He's visiting a lot of other schools. And yeah, I think, you know, we're just kind of in a holding pattern until Michigan finds a replacement there. And Lei back with another one. He says, what is stopping Michigan's NIL? Not enough funding, school philosophy and policy, or something else? Probably a combination of all those things. I think Sherrone Moore is definitely pushing for it. I think the coaching staff would definitely like it, but it's up to the administration to really back them. I get, you know, some around Michigan don't want to enter into pay for play waters, but it's kind of what we're into right now, and you have to adapt. I'm not saying for Michigan to go out there and be Miami and just drop bags of cash, but, you know, having that base salary model that Jim Harbaugh wanted, or having that bag of cash for just a select group of guys that the coaches have in their tier one, you know, there just has to be some type of recruiting plan. I think Sherrone Moore knows that, but again, it's up to the admin to back him. And last question from Lei Wu is, will you be at the Michigan-Texas game? Who will you be rooting for? Yeah, I'm planning to be there. I'm obviously excited for that one since it's, you know, my former beat against my current beat. And, you know, nothing but love for Texas, man. Like, I troll Notre Dame fans. And I see people, like, post this because of Sam Webb's dumbass. Like, he's always like, oh, these other beats hate EJ or whatever. And it's just really Notre Dame. Like, me and Texas, we left on good terms. Or I didn't leave on good terms with 24/7. But I left on good terms with the Texas fans and the Texas beat in general. I feel like if I lived in Texas and wanted to go back to covering Texas, I could definitely do that with no problem. Like, I feel like there's a lot of love still there with Texas. With that said, growing up, I hated Texas, and I don't think Texas fans really knew that until after I left the beat. And I obviously never showed that on that beat. So, you know, I wasn't a Longhorn fan at all growing up. And, you know, Michigan, obviously I wasn't a fan of Michigan growing up in Texas. So, you know, it's not like I have fandom for either school. I really loved my time on the Texas beat. I still love the fans there. And I obviously have loved my time on the Michigan beat and, you know, love the fans here. except, you know, the small army that gets really, really upset with my Mike Hart takes or Jaden Davis takes. But yeah, I just hope it's a good game and it'll be cool to see. It'll be cool to see that in the big house. I would lean Michigan because I know the kids. You know, I'm so far removed from Texas. I hardly know anybody on that roster. And definitely nobody that I covered at Texas is still there or will still be there. So everybody I know is on Michigan. So I'm excited. I didn't get to go to a Michigan game last year with the move and things of that nature. So it'll be great to see the guys again, especially, you know, Will Johnson and Kenneth Grant and guys like that I was really close to during the recruiting process. You know, now that they've kind of become stars in Ann Arbor. Jeff M says, if you haven't already answered this question, who are the most realistic 26 quarterbacks on Michigan's board? We did talk about that, you know, mentioned guys like Brady Smiegel and Quinn Murphy, Noah Grubbs, Will Griffin, Faison Brandon. So a lot of names to know. We are over the 30-minute mark, guys. So if you last call for Super Chats, if not, we're going to run through these rapid fire. Les Austin Jr. says, what happened with the David Sanders recruitment? I never bought into the David Sanders recruitment, honestly. Like I always said, I felt like Michigan was more of a pretender than a contender. I've always felt like he wanted to stay south. So yeah, I just don't think there was a ton of interest from him. You know, he was supposed to visit in the fall, didn't visit. Obviously he had a lot of connections, but, you know, just didn't work out. And plus when you're a five-star offensive tackle, you're obviously going to command NIL. Travis Foster says, thoughts on Tony Alford so far? Great. I mean, Mike Hart had one top 200 running back on campus the entire fall. Tony Alford, by the end of this week, will have three guys that will have visited this week in the top 200. That's a massive difference. And I know people have said, well, pump the brakes. He still has to land them. It's not like, who did Mike Hart land? He just landed Jordan Marshall, right? So I think that Tony Alford has a great opportunity to land some top-tier talent. And more importantly, he's just showing a lot of effort. And that's really all I wanted from Mike Hart, was to take pride in being a recruiter. And obviously Tony Alford definitely does that. And you can see, you know, kids, elite backs taking interest. I mean, for Bo Jackson, Marquise Davis, and Jordan Davison to all visit in the same week, I mean, Michigan fans should be absolutely fired up about Tony Alford right now. Newber said, oh, we have a super chat from Moose. He says, what is your issue with Jaden Davis, if I may ask? I don't really have an issue with Jaden Davis at all. You know, I just wasn't really super high on him early on. Well, I was high on him early on as an underclassman, like everybody else. And then I saw him on multiple occasions as a junior, and I just wrote, hey, this guy's not a five-star guy. I don't think he's a top 100 guy. And, you know, things kind of hit the fan from there, and people got upset and people got in their feelings. And look, it's going to happen, right? Jaden Davis isn't going to be the first kid that I say I think is ranked too high. You know, he's not, you know, there's going to be guys around recruitments that get upset, whether it's family members or things like that. But I have a job to do for you guys. I have to give you guys straight up information. I have to give you guys honest opinions. And I get that's not the case everywhere else. Every single recruiting reporter that covers Michigan is a fan except for me. That's why you don't get any evaluations anywhere else. That's why every commit is great. That's why every coach is a great recruiter. You never see anything negative anywhere else. So, you know, I just said what I said about Jaden Davis. I have no problem with him personally. I hope he proves me wrong, and good luck to him. But I didn't think he was, you know, a high-end elite quarterback. I thought he was just very good, which is fine. Let's see, Newber. He says, EJ, when should fans start getting worried about the lack of commitments? I don't know, man. It's just a tough situation to gauge right now with all the staff turnover. I think, you know, end of spring, I think will be a little concerning, but I think most of the commitments will likely come in the summer. Dennis Titek says, how are we doing recruiting at wide receiver since we lost Carmelo English? Yeah, man. I mean, I think it's a tough situation for Bellamy, because you have to recruit a position that definitely commands NIL. And you also have to recruit to an offense that doesn't throw the ball a lot. And you get negative recruited a ton. So, you know, Bellamy has Michigan in a good spot with some really elite wide receivers. Quincy Porter is set to come to campus next month. Talon Taylor is set to come to campus next month. There are several other, you know, guys that are in that four-star range, like Taz Williams, several three-stars on the board as well. So, yeah, I mean, Bellamy's doing a good job, but, you know, he's, again, just in a really tough spot. So it'll be interesting to see if he can get some of that elite talent to sign up for an offense that doesn't sling the ball a lot. Tim Anderson says, do recruiting staffs contact you for your takes on recruits? We cannot answer that, Tim. That is an NCAA violation. Struggle Streaming with BK says, personal question, EJ, who has been the best recruiter that you have seen in your time at the University of Michigan? The best recruiter. That's a good question. The best recruiter. I'm trying to think of who would be the best answer here. I would say the best recruiter, man, would be Sherrone Moore. I'm just going to go with Sherrone Moore, man. Like, I think Sherrone Moore did a great job when I first started on this beat. As the area recruiter in Chicagoland, as the tight ends coach. At one point, Sherrone Moore was considered the ace recruiter on staff early on. And, you know, he obviously added a ton of responsibilities, but he never let up from a recruiting standpoint. He landed some really good offensive line classes. He was involved with a lot of other positions. And he's always loved recruiting. He's always been a passionate recruiter. He's always been very personable. The effort has always been A+. He's always had great relationships with coaches and mentors. And, you know, I think that's a big reason why he got the head coaching job. He just took a lot of pride in both his coaching, winning Joe Moore Awards, and his recruiting. You know, we talk about a guy like Mike Hart, who was an elite coach and a Michigan legend and just took no pride in recruiting. And then you have a guy like Sherrone Moore, who's winning Joe Moore Awards and is an elite coach, and yet never lets up on the recruiting trail. So I think it was really impressive that Sherrone never got complacent and he never got behind with recruiting, despite being the offensive line coach, the offensive coordinator, him being expected to be an elite recruiter, being able to wear all those hats. Again, super, super impressive. So I'll just go with Sherrone Moore. Let's go down to, oh, and this is the last one. Kelvin Scott. He says, is there a chance Michigan lands Chris Ewald? I would say the ship is pretty much sailed out of port there. I mean, there might be a tiny bit of chance depending on if Lamar Morgan can make some things shake. But I think that it's going to be tough to pull him out of South Florida. Miami's done a fantastic job. Michigan doesn't really play NIL. Obviously, the Hurricanes do. Not that his decision will completely come down to that, but I would have to think it's a factor for any elite corner. So, yeah, I would say, you know, if I had to pick a school today, it would be Miami. Moose makes a comment. We are in the lead for five-star wide receiver Quincy Porter, 6'3", 190 from New Jersey. Look, I have been driving the Quincy Porter bandwagon. I have been saying that Quincy Porter is a five-star. I have been talking about Michigan's standing with Quincy Porter. So if anybody else is reporting about Quincy Porter, they are behind. I have been hyping up Quincy Porter for more than a year. You can actually find some really good highlights here on the Wolverine YouTube channel from my time seeing him in September. So yeah, I mean, Quincy Porter, I wouldn't say Michigan has an outright lead, but they are right up there for sure. Travis Foster, I had to think about it because there have been some good recruiters, not because I think everyone sucks. Mike H says, where did Christina go? Christina DeRuiter is still on staff, but she's taking more of an operations role. And Tyree Smiley with the last question of the night says, EJ, be honest, where do you see this class finishing at? Probably the same place it's finished the last couple of cycles. I mean, it'd be great if Michigan can get into the top 15, but I think 15 to 20 with the way things are trending now, there's just been so much turnover. I don't think you can really grade Sherrone more on his first recruiting class because the whole staff didn't really stay intact as expected. And so, you know, you also had some hiccups with Greg Scruggs, you know, getting into trouble and things like that. So I think next cycle might be the cycle, if Michigan has a strong year on the field, where Moore can help turn the corner. But I think this is more a transition class. That's not to say that Michigan can't land some highly touted prospects. Maybe they can in the summer. Maybe they continue to have a ton of success on the field and that catches attention in the fall. There's still a lot of factors, but right now I've kind of lowered that expectation to a top 15, 20 class, which is probably what you don't want to hear, but I think it kind of sets the bar a little low. You know, it's always good to temper expectations because if Michigan exceeds them, then you can get really excited. So anyway, guys, that is my time. I appreciate you guys for joining me. Remember to subscribe at thewolverine.com for $1 for 1 month, and also like this video and subscribe to our YouTube channel for